Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Music playing?
Hey, what's up, Sims? How are you?
How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you today. You're glistening already. Why are you sweaty?
Because the air conditioning here at the Bleacher Report offices is bottom of the barrel.
I'm fine. I don't know what you're talking about. You're just a little out of shape.
We're going to see how much Sims sweats today wearing his hoodie. Welcome to the betting show, the Sims and Lefko betting experience.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to go through every single game. We're going to look at all of the spreads, and we're going to bet our money. We get $100 for every single game. This week, we actually get $1,600 because Miami and Tampa Bay are playing this week.
Right.
So we're back to the normal amount. But let's just say that our bets last week were hot frickin' garbage.
Hot garbage.
Let's take a look at how bad. Well, then, Canvasser, you need to tell me the numbers. So we're going to take this time and let Canvasser do his job.
What's he doing?
They don't know that they don't have the numbers. So I don't know how much you lost. All I know is we lost more than $1,000
each. All I know is I beat you. I know that. I beat you by two games, and I think I won the lost.
Sims lost 1,010.
Right.
Lefko lost 1,360. So I got 140 right.
Loser.
Wait, do we only have $1,400? No, we had $1,500.
And then what was the record
and then
for
what
the
was
games?
The records? You went 5-10,
right.
And I went 3-12.
Yes. Woo,
wow.
Woo, woo. Hey, I'm sorry about that. Week one's tough, and I picked some games that were certainly a little bit. I went out on a limb on a few, right? I mean, I certainly went New Orleans. I can explain to you or give you some reason why that fell apart.
San Francisco,
I took a chance there. I thought Seattle would beat Green Bay. I took the Giants. And then I went out on a limb with Chicago, and Chicago had a chance to win the football game.
Oh, they were so close. Well, no, you won that game.
I won the spread.
You won the spread. That's the only thing that matters. We're actually doing the spread. Lyndon J. Smith says, your picks were good. I just bet the opposite. Seriously. Do you feel more confident? When you looked at the games this week,
yes.
Do you feel more confident?
I do. And I think I just was a little too risky last week. Too many road teams, too many upsets I went through. You know what happens to me is I get really excited when I evaluate teams in the preseason that I see improvement on, and I think probably overvalued a few of those. So listen to my analysis of football. I'm not going to say definitely listen to what I say money-wise. Maybe sometimes what I'm betting money-wise doesn't match up with my analysis on the game. So if you're listening, and you go, wait, your analysis doesn't match up to what you're betting, you're an idiot, then please comment and tell me.
I feel a lot more confident this week just when I looked at the games.
Right.
Like when we were watching the games on Sunday, I went, oh, of course Rams are going to beat the crap out of the Colts. But if you were looking at the matchup on paper beforehand and you saw Jared Goff at home with the Rams team we saw last year, it wasn't that cut and dry.
Yeah.
I looked this week and I went, I was able to pick the games in one swoop. Usually there's a few I hem and haul over. This week I felt good, and then I had to do money from that.
Yep.
We're going to start off with the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Cincinnati hosting Houston, right? Houston is at Cincinnati. This game, as you know, we like to add it up. They're both 0-1. Cincinnati got shut out 20-0 by the Ravens. The Texans, they got beaten 29-7 to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean beaten, like not beaten. Like I
so
mean,
I went back and watched that game last night.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with Jacksonville. We're going to get to that in a little bit.
Sure.
But the line in this game is Cincinnati -6.
Yeah.
I have a few things I'm going to go through here.
Go ahead.
Straight up, though, I am going the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
The amount of money, I'm going $50 on the Cincinnati Bengals. The reason I'm not going $200 is because it's a Thursday night game,
yeah,
and it's wonky, mm-hmm, and Cincinnati's offensive line stinks. Mm-hmm. The reason I like Cincinnati, it's a rookie quarterback,
yeah,
on a short week,
right,
and that's enough.
Yeah.
Also, I think that with the suspension to your favorite player, what?
My suspension to
the linebacker, Brian Cushing.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, man.
Do you want to go on a quick rant?
Yeah, I mean, Brian, I just can't even believe Brian Cushing, first of all. Yeah, I'm disappointed. He's a Jersey,
Jersey guy.
I've watched him in high school. Always rumors about PEDs in high school, and it just has followed him through. Second test. Listen, you know my...
You get really offended by
cheaters. I got no time for cheaters. I don't want to hear it. Get the hell out of the league. I'm so sick of them.
Texans are still missing Dwayne Brown. They lose their guard, Jeff Allen. They're down all three tight ends on their roster with a rookie quarterback. To me, it just scares me a lot, even though Jalen Strong's coming back.
Yeah.
And I just think that Cincinnati has more guys that could break a play.
Sure.
So it's going to be, you know, like
A.J. Green,
Joe Mixon and A.J. Green.
Right.
Even John Ross is coming back. Who knows what that's going to be?
Giovanni Bernard looked phenomenal in the first game, too. He really did.
Joe Mixon looked good, too, early on.
There's just nowhere to go.
Where are you going in this one?
Yeah, I'm not going crazy here. I'm going the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to go $20, though.
So you're confident like me, but you're not. It's still night.
It's Thursday night, and I am scared, but the way the Bengals offensive line look
pushed around
against Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, and that's still a good front seven, so that does concern me. I picked, just so you know, the Cincinnati Bengals to win 20-10. That's my, but I'm not going to say here and go, oh, they're if they won 16-13, I wouldn't be shocked.
When
either.
I went back and I watched Deshaun Watson, he started the second half.
Yep.
Right away, there was a different energy to the team.
No doubt.
And he was able to turn that pass rush and actually get out of the pocket and do some stuff.
Right.
He still makes really dumb throws, like every now
he's
and then.
That way,
and
so.
When he's about to get hit, he skips it.
Right.
Like he throws it into the dirt.
Yeah.
But he's a wild card.
He is
because
a wild
he can
card.
Run. Savage would have gotten beaten up.
Yeah, good. You go with Deshaun. Why are we delaying the inevitable? For what they are as a team right now, just put Deshaun Watson in there. We know he's going to be the starter eventually. They didn't draft him where they drafted him to sit in the bench. So this was going to happen. Didn't look good. And he really fits what the lack of blocking, like you said, he can help the team to get out of trouble, and maybe they can have some few quarterback design runs, too, to jumpstart the offense.
Let's go to one of the better games in the weekend. Not going to lie, when I saw that Minnesota was at Pittsburgh, and I saw that Minnesota was a big underdog, I kind of was shocked. 6.5 underdogs after an amazing game on Monday night, in which Sam Bradford went out there and carved it up. Steelers, they built a nice lead against the Browns and then kind of gave it all back. Antonio Brown was absolutely everywhere.
Right.
But look, I originally I picked Minnesota and then I went on.
Yeah.
And then I went back.
Right.
And I remembered that Pittsburgh at home is a different team than Pittsburgh on the road.
Sure.
Pittsburgh was 6-2 at home last year. Minnesota was 3-5 away last year. Pittsburgh in their last 13 games is 11-2 at home. I'm going with the Steelers here to cover the spread.
Okay.
And the other thing that got me here, how much money did I bet on this game? I bet $30 on it.
Yep.
It's Pittsburgh actually minus 6.5. The other reason was all of a sudden yesterday, here's what's so hard. This is for podcast fans and people watching up right now. We are picking these games based off of Wednesday information.
Right.
So Sam Bradford was questionable on the injury report on Wednesday. That's the only I don't have Thursday practice. I don't have Friday practices.
Yeah.
I don't have that Sunday crazy realization.
Yeah, sure.
But for me, Sam Bradford questionable.
Right.
It was just another thing. I just think Pittsburgh is a hard place to win, and I'm going with the Steelers here.
Yeah, okay. I can certainly see that. I am going the opposite. I am going the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not going crazy, though. I'm going to put $100 on it. Yeah, I have a hard time believing that Pittsburgh can win the game by more than 6.5. My biggest reasons are this. Run game didn't look great last week for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then the Minnesota Vikings have the secondary to at least slow down the passing attack of Roethlisberger and company. And from what I saw enough on the Minnesota offensive side of the ball, again, I like what I saw for Pittsburgh on defense. I certainly did. Stephon Tuitt injury is a little concerning.
Huge injury.
I still don't think they have great cover corners. So I don't think Minnesota's going to get blown away up front. Minnesota's O-line's better. Dalvin Cook, let's not underestimate his ability to be a game changer on that side of the ball. So, I picked Pittsburgh to win the game, 27-23.
Gotcha.
That's why I'm going $100. But I'm also – I mean – could I see Pittsburgh scoring a late touchdown and all of a sudden winning 34-23?
Yes.
That's why I'm saying I'm only going 100.
Our guy, Omar right. Judah, our Swisher guy,
yeah.
he said that the Vikings offensive line has looked much better.
It has.
What we're going to learn in this game
right.
is how much of that was the Saints defense.
Yeah, right.
Because guys seemed to be really wide open the yep. other night. But I agree with you with injuries. I think Antonio Brown versus Xavier Rhodes is like the worst matchup ever for Antonio Brown. I think he'll be on him the entire time.
Yep.
The question is, is Martavis Bryant going to wake up deep?
Yeah.
Is Le'Veon Bell going to wake up?
Right.
I thought the Steelers were going to win the game.
Yeah.
And I usually, when I think a team's going to win the game,
right.
even if it's 6.5 points, but that's a lot of points for a Pittsburgh
team.
It's a lot
of points. And, this is the one thing. This is the other injury we got to talk about, because this is a big injury. And I forgot to bring this up in the original analysis. Anthony Barr. I think he has a little hamstring issue right now. Those middle linebackers for Minnesota, Kendricks and Anthony Barr, if you watched that game the other night, I mean, the Saints love to throw underneath bull crap routes.
Yes.
You can't do that crap with these dudes. So these are two guys, if they are healthy, they can take away the Le'Veon Bell underneath pass game, the quick passes to Antonio Brown. But we'll see regardless. Like you said, Pittsburgh is a different environment.
So what the advice we're going to give you, because this podcast comes out Friday, the live show is obviously today, pay attention to injury reports.
Yeah.
There's nothing I think that's more important than injury reports. Yeah. Availability is everything.
Right.
So check out Saturday, Sunday. If Tuitt, and Anthony Barr, I think, are the two big ones. And then, of course, Sam Bradford. We'll see what happens with him. Cleveland at Baltimore. Baltimore goes out there and shuts out Cincinnati 20-0.
Yeah,
defense looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Cleveland looked good.
Yes.
Number of sacks on Kaiser. Most of them were his fault.
Right.
But the defense did well against Pittsburgh. Offensive line looked pretty good.
Yep.
And there was a big drop by your favorite receiver.
Kenny Britt.
It was tough.
That was a tough one.
And they've been talking about it all week.
Right.
But it's an eight-point line for the Ravens, though.
Yeah, that's what drives. I hate the, like, we're going to talk about Kenny Britt's big drop, but we're not going to talk about DeShone Kizer missing about four huge plays down the field to wide-open receivers. That's what just...
You can't talk crap about...
I'm just saying storylines annoy me.
You talked they about this me. With the receiver from Washington.
Terrell Pryor.
I can't think of a freaking name today.
Yeah, what did you do today? What did you do?
I don't think it's because I'm hot. I'm sweating in here.
Bear Jew hot. He Man. Can't think straight.
My thing is, the Cleveland Browns have now lost 12 in a row in their division.
Yeah.
Baltimore is 4-1 against the spread in their last five games at home. I'm picking Baltimore to win this game. I think DeShone Kizer is going to be in a big trouble. I'm going $200 here. Thank you for that, cha-ching. $200, Baltimore -8. Do I think that the Baltimore Ravens offense is going to have a lot of success? No.
Yeah.
But I think Kizer, he's going to have some mistakes. I think they thought they saw a defense in Pittsburgh. I think they're about to see a defense in Baltimore.
That's what I would agree.
When I watched Baltimore's defense against Cincinnati, they were running all over the place, and that D-line is freaking enormous.
Ferocious.
So I could see a defensive touchdown in this game that kind of pushes it over here, too.
I agree with a lot of the points you said, and I think you're right. Like, Cleveland Browns are an improved football team. But regardless, I'm going Baltimore, and I'll see your 200
Whoa.
And raise you 100 more.
This is one of the big bets for us,
It
then.
Is. It's certainly one of the big bets. I just think when I really evaluate the game, I just, you know, you talked about it. Baltimore's defense is special for a rookie quarterback going into Baltimore. Okay, Baltimore... Other than Seattle, maybe
really?
the loudest outdoor stadium in football. It's loud as hell. Great bowl. It contains the noise, right? With that defense, the creativity they bring along that side, like we saw, we talked about, Cleveland's defense is certainly better. But this is the difference, I think. I think last week, Cleveland, when I watched the film of the game, Cleveland kept two safeties really far back for the most day. They were like, first, let's see if Pittsburgh can just run on our front seven.
Sure.
And they couldn't, and they allowed them the ability to keep Jabril Peppers and company back deep to help with the Antonio Browns. And, of course, it didn't totally help with Antonio Brown. But I think this week, with this offensive line in Baltimore, which is big and physical, at some point they're going to have to bring some people down. And when you get Jersey Joe Flacco, some one-on-one matchups, again, they have a little speed at the skill positions this year. That's why I like Baltimore. I picked a 23-9 victory, Baltimore. I can't see Cleveland going down and scoring many touchdowns or any touchdowns in general.
Multiple people right now saying, what about Arrowhead?
Arrowhead's up in that discussion. I'm going to tell you, I think that the Baltimore Ravens stadium is louder than Arrowhead. Arrowhead's really loud. No disrespect to any of those places.
Yeah.
I mean, they're amazing. But if you get outdoor stadiums loudest, I'm probably going to go Seattle, Baltimore, Arrowhead, and then Chicago were the loudest ones I've been
in. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
We have a few people in the comment section right now saying, it's too many points for Cleveland.
Yeah.
That was like the story of the last 2 years, is Cleveland's a good team. Yeah. They can lose by less than that. Something ends up happening. We're just both going Baltimore. Yes. You're big, apparently.
Right.
Philadelphia at Kansas City. The Philadelphia Fighting Eagles are 1-0, and they're heading on to take on their former coach, Andy Reid. It is a 5-point line. That's how we got it. Kansas City favored by 5, taking on Carson Wentz and the Eagles. The Eagles get a nice double-digit win over Washington, one of my few victories last week.
Yep.
Kansas City shocked the world last week and went into New England and got the win.
Yep.
I would love to see the Eagles win.
Of course,
and that's
would.
Partially why I'm betting against them, because when I bet against them, you're going to win. Andy Reid is 8-3 when facing his former assistant coaches.
Oh, that's a good stat.
Andy Reid has a long week.
Yes.
Because they played last Thursday.
Right.
And we know how Andy Reid does with extra time.
Yep.
The Eagles, in their last 8 games on the road, are 1-7. They're 2-6 on the road against the spread. This is one of my biggest bets of the week.
Oh, baby.
I'm going Kansas City $300.
Wow.
This could end up being my Pittsburgh game last year.
Yes.
When I bet all that money on Pittsburgh over Philadelphia.
Right.
And I lost it all and I felt really dumb. But this one is in Arrowhead.
Yes.
I watched that Eagles game with every intention. I watched all 6 games on Sunday, but I focused on the Eagles more. And then I rewatched it. I've watched it 3 times.
Yes.
Every time the Eagles got a big play, it's because Carson Wentz made a miracle.
Very true.
I don't believe in miracles happening all that often.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Eagle call for sure. Oh. I look at Kansas City and their offense, and I think you said on the podcast yesterday that Washington was able to predict the Eagles' plays.
Yes.
Cunningham's going to be able to do it even more so, I think.
Yeah, it's Sutton.
Sutton.
What the hell is wrong with you today?
I'm all over the place. I just think it's a really bad matchup. The only chance I think the Eagles have, and it's a good chance, is if Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and that D-line can do something that the Patriots couldn't.
Yes.
Which is mess up the edges and get in there
they
and hit
Alex
Smith.
They have a more talented front four than the Patriots.
I definitely do.
Yeah,
I
and
definitely
a better linebacking core, really,
I think
too.
So, too.
Yes.
But I think the Chiefs are a really good football team, top to bottom, and I think 5 points. I think this could be a double-digit point win.
All right, I picked Kansas City to win 28-17 right away, but
wow.
I'm not stupid, and I'm going $10.
Wow.
That's why I don't trust it, okay? First of all, Kansas City, I'm not going to sit here and say that's the steel curtain on defense. I mean, they did let up 27 points, and Brady missed a lot of wide-open receivers, so that scares me.
So did Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, right. So I get that. But I also think Schwartz, that front four, which is deep and talented, those linebackers, I think they might be able to contain some of the stuff that we saw from Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill going horizontally. Now, I expect Kansas City to win the football game, and I know I picked it 28-17, but I still could see this being a 28-24 game at the end of the day, too. I think Carson Wentz, with that offensive line, they're going to be okay against that Kansas City defensive front. And I'm still not, as much as I love some of the players on Kansas City, the scheme itself still lends it sometimes to too many easy completions, and that, I think, is what scares me a little bit. I really am a big Carson Wentz fan, so that's why.
So am I.
That's what scares me. I really think
he can make a play.
I think he can make a few plays maybe as the game goes along.
How big of a loss is Eric Berry in this game?
Yeah, it's a big loss. Eric Berry was, I mean, of course, one of my MVPs of the week. I could have put both safeties on my All-22 team, Ron Parker as well. But yeah, Eric Berry is going to be a big loss. He's going to hurt against the Zach Ertzes of the world, right, where if they want to play man-to-man on a 3rd-and-4. So there's my points basically right there. Like I said, I picked a 28-17, but I'm not going to sit here and just go, oh, that's definitely going to happen. I don't see that. There are some things that scare me there.
We have some people in the comments
section. Doug Peterson's going to know Bob Sutton's defense, so he's going to have some things there.
I don't know what Doug Peterson knows, to be honest. We have some people in the comments section, namely Alex Daniels, that is just crapping all over us for our picks last week.
All right.
So I want to have fun with it.
Sure.
Because look, there's a lot of people that refuse, like your guy, Mike Lombardi, refuses to even make picks because it's such a crapshoot in the NFL.
Right.
We like to give you guys analysis, but it's fun because I want to beat his ass.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I want you guys in the comment section right now to type in, your guys' picks are so bad that...
Sure.
Let's have fun with it.
Yeah.
And we'll see the best comments. We're gonna have Canvasser in the back collecting them. Your guys' picks are so bad that, and then let us hear it.
Yeah.
Let's have fun with it.
Listen, there's a lot of people that won't, you know, we're going out on a limb, and like Lefko said, first of all, it's Wednesday, okay? We don't even know, it's Thursday now, sorry, but we don't even know who's injured, who's not playing. We're doing our best. It was week one. Yeah, we were shitty. Yeah.
Shitty.
Thank you.
Self-scouting.
I will also tell you this, to add this, Lefko knows this is one of my token lines that people say this. Heard Bill Belichick pick 3 games in my life. He was 0-3 because I was working for him, and he told me, prepare for this game in the divisional because I think this team will be this team, and I broke down the team that he thought was going to win, and they lost. So it's not as easy as you think. The teams are very close. It's 2 or 3 plays. Sean Payton, let's just think about that. I mean, it's 10-6 football game. He calls timeouts at the end of the half. They go down, score a touchdown. They get a field goal to start the second half, and all of a sudden the game's 20-6, and it's totally turned around just by one timeout call. So that's how fickle it is. Get off my back, Jack.
All right, so Canvasser, get in my ear. Are you able to collect these comments? Perfect.
Stop, yeah, they're coming in. Canvasser.
All right, let's move now to Chicago at the Tampa Bay Bucks, who had a bye week in week one, and I'm really curious to see how it's going to impact them throughout the year.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Chicago goes out there, and they put up a great performance, could have beaten Atlanta. The defense and Akeem Hicks up front looked really fantastic. Yep. Mike Glennon was good, and we have a new star in Tariq Cohen, a.k.a. the Mensch.
Yes.
That's what we're calling him now. Tampa Bay, they were the Hard Knocks team. Their offense could be really special this year. Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard.
Yes.
Adam Humphries is a serviceable back wide receiver. They don't have Doug Martin. He is still suspended until week 5 now.
Before you make your pick, let me ask you this. Who do you think has the advantage, right? Because it's like Chicago doesn't get to break down anything from Tampa Bay, right? And at the same time, Tampa Bay got to break down Chicago in week 1 and go, ooh, they like to do this against this
formation. Tampa Bay has a huge advantage.
You do, but yet they still have the game 1 jitters where they're not going to be like...
See, I don't know. You would know that more than I do.
Yeah, you haven't been out there in live bullets where Chicago's got a game under their belt to go, okay, I know what regular season football is like too. So I was very torn with that. I'm sorry. Go on with your pick.
No, that's perfect. I think for me, the fact also that Chicago just played a team that is a very similar defense in Tampa Bay helps the defensive coordinator,
right.
I think, just in terms of speed and like the athleticism and all that. I wanted to go Chicago, and then I thought, you know what? It's Tampa Bay. I'm picking Tampa Bay.
Right.
I'm taking Tampa. It's -7 points. I'm putting $50 on it. It came down to me going, I think Atlanta's offense is worse than Tampa Bay's offense.
Okay.
I think Tampa Bay has more talent, and I think they're going to be able to get it done. I'm going Tampa Bay here.
Okay. I picked Tampa Bay to win the game 24-20 over Chicago.
So that means you're taking Chicago in this.
And I am taking Chicago for $10, though.
Chicago +7 for 10.
Yeah.
You're not confident.
I think,
there's too many question marks.
I think Chicago's defense is very good. Chicago played them pretty well last year, if you remember, in Tampa. That was the game where Jameis Winston scrambled behind the line of scrimmage for like 10 seconds.
Yes.
And made that big throw down the field. So I do think Chicago matches up pretty well with them. The other thing I'll say, I'm a big fan of Dowell Logans, and you could say whatever you want. He's a friend of mine. But again, there we saw they moved the ball okay against Atlanta. And Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator of Tampa, the one thing that kind of bothers me about him is he's still running the same damn defense as he ran when I was playing in 2005. I mean, I played against Mike Smith. It's the same thing. So I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of wrinkles there that they won't be prepared for. So that's what scares me. I do think Tampa wins the football game. Funny, we got a lot of, teams visiting their old teams. We talked about Andy Reid. We talked about, guys like McVay and the Redskins. And now you got Mike Glennon going back to Tampa Bay. That's kind of the theme of the week, guys reuniting with their old squad.
We're going to have that a little bit later, too, with the Carolina game for sure.
Right.
Let's go to Tennessee at Jacksonville. This was when it popped up, and I saw it. I think it actually started off that the Jaguars were favorites. The money pushed this thing so far the other side. And at first glance, I thought, how the heck are you not going to bet on Tennessee in Jacksonville? Tennessee is favored by 2. They played the Oakland Raiders. Oakland's defense all of a sudden showed up. I rewatched this game, and I'm going to be honest. Mariota's performance kind of scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I watched Jacksonville take on Houston, and I went, they finally used Blake Bortles correctly.
Yeah.
It was pound with Ivory, pound with Fournette, and then roll out Blake Bortles, give him one option of a tight end or he runs.
Right.
I really liked it. I forgot how good of a coach Doug Marrone was.
Yes.
So I was going to bet a lot of money on Tennessee. I know people in this office are betting a lot of money on Tennessee.
Right.
Then I saw a stat last night.
Yeah.
Then in the last 18 games on the road against the spread,
right,
the Titans are 1-16-1.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Jacksonville wasn't great.
Right.
Houston hasn't always been 1-16-1 against the spread.
Right.
I'm going Jacksonville.
Cool.
I'm going Jacksonville. $10. I'm not getting crazy.
Big build
this
up
is
there.
More. This is more of just a pride thing. But what I saw out of Jacksonville was really impressive.
Right.
And you came on the podcast yesterday and you said that the Titans interior line's a little bit overrated.
Yes, it is.
I think all the years of Jacksonville bringing in free agents and thinking it was going to be the year, they never got the Calais Campbell, the big guy in the middle that's a leader.
Sure.
When you really look at Calais Campbell and Malik Jackson next to each other and what they did to Houston last week, it was an absolute show.
Yeah.
A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey were so much fun to watch on film because they had no freaking fear. And I don't see anybody on the Titans that's going to give them fear either.
Jalen Ramsey has a hurt ankle. He didn't practice yesterday, so there
so
we go.
I don't know if he's
he'll be good to go. But yes, your points are all
valid. Look at the Jacksonville defense against Tennessee, and I go, they're going to be all up. Corey Davis isn't scaring them.
No.
He's just, Eric Dereker is not scaring them.
Yeah.
And I look at this defense, I go, it's in Jacksonville. And you know what? They jumped all over Tennessee. They beat Tennessee in Jacksonville last year.
Yeah.
And I think this is a better coach team. I'm going Jacksonville. I know it's crazy.
No, it's not that crazy. I mean, there's a reason the line is, too. I picked Tennessee to win the game 16-14, right? Because I didn't look at the lines when I picked the game. So would be a push.
Wow.
But I'm not picking the push. I'm taking Tennessee just for $10. Again, all the things, Lefko, you said are completely valid. I got to see it to believe it one more week with Blake Bortles in the office. Fournette is a freak of nature. Don't get me wrong. He really is. But again, you know, even to the vice versa, you say what's scary, you know, Tennessee should be able to crowd the line of scrimmage on the Jacksonville Jaguars, vice versa as well, to stop that running game. And still, I don't think you're going to be able to depend on two defensive touchdowns and all those turnovers. So I do. I think Tennessee's going to win a tough, hard-fought football game, very close. But I'm just going to go with Mariota over Bortles, really. I got to see it for another week for me to believe it in Blake Bortles.
I know.
He's so much better underneath the center. If you're watching that game, watch how much better he throws. When he gets the drop back, he gets in rhythm and throws the ball. Instead of when he catches the ball in the shotgun, he just stands there and he's kind of a wooden Indian, as we would say in the football world. He has no rhythm, and then the ball's all over the place.
We have some early returns on your picks are so bad.
Right.
J.R. Santos, your picks are so bad that Sims was forced to wear a shirt without buttons. Love it. Caleb Flynn, your picks are so bad that it made Rex Ryan look like a good NFL commentator.
Negative. He was
awful. Paul Byrd, your picks are so bad it's now called Simsing the Bed. Alex Rayfield.
What about Simsing the Bed? Lefko was worse. That's screwed up.
Greg Vaughn, your picks are so bad that even Andy Dalton said you had a terrible week one.
That's
pretty
a good one. I like that.
And then this is my favorite here. Sean Edward, your picks are so bad that even Pete Rose wouldn't bet on your analysis.
Good old Pete. Well, we're not going to hold Pete to any standard. Right.
He's a dirtball.
All I know is it's so hot in here. I want to touch the hiney, okay?
That's why I changed into a
short-sleeve
shirt.
Holy crapola.
All right, so we have four bets that apparently we bet exactly the same.
Okay.
So let's go through those right now. They're actually pretty good games. First one, Arizona at Indy. Sims, you bet 10. Lefko, bet 30. We're both taking Arizona. Miami at the Chargers. Who did you bet there?
I'm taking Miami for $10.
I forgot who I take. So we both picked Miami for $10.
Right.
Oakland versus the Jets. We both took Oakland. You bet 400.
Yes.
I bet 300.
Yes.
And that is also going to be on one of my bets this weekend, one of my locks, because I'm not messing around anymore. That one's just good. And then the last one, Monday Night Football. We're both betting $100 on Detroit.
I almost went hard on Detroit. Like, I almost went all in. But I it's Monday night. It's in New York. New York's home opener. And this is the thing sometimes, like, I need to pump the brakes on and almost remind myself that, like, when I was a player, the Giants are going to be desperate. They're going to be the team that will be a little bit more self-motivated because they got their butts whipped in week one. They know if they go 0-2, they're in deep trouble. I like Detroit to win the football game, really. I picked Detroit to win 20-16, but I only bet $100
because
of the desperation.
I did the same thing.
Yep.
I also thought this. Detroit went in there to Giants last year. Matt Stafford did have a hurt hand. Yeah. And it completely changed his performance. My thing about Detroit is they're very horizontal.
Right.
And when the Giants can pin their ears back and kind of focus right in front of them, I don't know if Kenny Golladay is going to be a consistent deep threat for this team.
Yeah.
It was one game. And I just don't see and Amir Abdullah having a good running game.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
I think the Cowboys were a tough matchup because they could pound them. I think the Giants' defense is going to get back on track.
Right.
I just think in the end, whether Odell plays or not, that offense sucks for the Giants.
It sucks.
And Eli is old.
Yeah.
And he's bad.
Yeah.
Eli was bad last year.
Yeah, that's right.
He had one good half in a playoff game against the Packers.
And everybody forgot the rest of the year. I agree.
So, and the offensive line sticks, and I thought the Detroit defensive line was good.
It's for real.
We were a little bit high on Detroit throughout the year last year.
Right.
Let me just get back
to... We were right, though. We were a little bit high. Nobody... When we picked Detroit to go to the playoffs, we were like, you're an idiot, Detroit. Yeah, they were in. We won.
Oakland. Yeah. We're both betting a lot of money.
Right.
This one just seems like a guaranteed lock.
Yeah.
Even though it's 14 points. Are you worried at all that that's too many points?
I'm really not. I just think at the end of the day, like, I think the Jets can hang in there a little bit. The Jets defense is pretty good, but man, I just don't know if there's any defenses in football that can just hang in there with Seattle all game long. You know, where I looked at it, right?
Oakland.
I mean Oakland, sorry. The where I looked at it, sorry, with Oakland is, okay, where's the Jets' strength, right? Their defense. Oh, their defensive line. You know what? That gets muted in this game because Oakland's offensive line is as big and as powerful as any offensive line in football, so they're not going to lose that battle. At worst, it's a stalemate. And then I just go Derek Carr, beast mode, Crabtree, who's amazing, the tight end play they have, and then, okay, you switch it over to the other side. We know the Jets' offense isn't that special, right? There's no weapons. I have a hard time thinking they're going to score touchdowns all the time, even when they get in the red zone, and I do think the Oakland Raiders' defense is a little bit better. They got size, and they got a few difference makers at all three levels. So to me, yeah, I went 34-17 Raiders.
Yeah, the other thing too with the Raiders is
that stadium, the baseball field.
I don't put too much into the stadium.
And the Raiders are going to be raucous. They think they got a chance at the Super Bowl. Those fans are going to be pumped this week.
I think the main thing that you said too is, look, I bet on the Jets last week. We both did, I think. And I watched them try to score against the Buffalo defense at the end. And I just realized how inept they are at every position.
Yeah.
Bilal Powell's the best running back, and they don't use him.
I know.
They throw the ball up, and it's like Jermaine Kearse. Jermaine Kearse is their best option right now. I love Ardarius Stewart. He's great.
Right.
But I see nothing.
No,
and I go,
nothing.
If Oakland goes up 7-0, you're telling me they're not going to go up 14-0?
Oh, right. If they go up 10-0, the game's over. You're right. If it goes up like that, if the game ends up like that, where it's 14-0, 10-0 early, then the game has a chance to be like 35-7.
Only game, I don't want to go too much into Arizona Indy, but Miami Chargers.
Yeah.
Why are we both going Miami? I'm going Miami just because I think that offensive line, the running game, is going to have a lot of success against. I thought Denver had a lot of success run the ball in the Chargers.
They did.
And I think that Adam Gase, with a lot of time to prepare,
right,
is really, really dangerous.
Right.
And they relied on Phillip Rivers. The Chargers are still the freaking Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers got dominated in that game. The Broncos screwed it up at the end to let the Chargers back into it. So, I picked Miami to go to the playoffs with Jay Cutler. I don't care.
No, you didn't. I did.
Oh,
didn't have enough balls to pick them.
Did I go back out of it?
You did.
I did. Okay.
I picked the Dolphins.
All right, so
don't
either
take
way,
credit for my
I'm
balls.
I'm sorry. So if there are fringe
I'm the one with
teams,
the balls here.
Are you sure? Well, double check that, Canvas, or do
positive.
Something today, okay? But regardless, I think the big thing I do, yeah, I think Miami is a playoff quality team. Okay, I'll qualify that. But what scares me at the end of the day is just that it is their first game. And they had the extra time to prepare. And the Chargers are coming off a really late Monday night football game.
True.
All that plays to me in the advantage of the Miami Dolphins. But I won't be shocked if Phillip Rivers pulls some magic off and wins the game. That's why I only go $10.
Also, it's in a new stadium.
Yes. The old, the embarrassment to play there. The 37.
I think it's going to be cool.
It does look cool.
All right. Let's go next to one where I think it's a big enough line that's going to cause some intrigue on either side. It's Buffalo at Carolina.
The air conditioning's on.
It feels really good now.
Me likey.
I feel so good. Carolina goes out there. The score against San Francisco was great, but it really was a battle for most of the game.
Yeah.
But we saw how much they want to use Christian McCaffrey
and
Luke Kuechly, and more importantly, Kawan Short was incredible. They're favored by 7.5 over Buffalo, who survived a game against the Jets. Mm-hmm. Tyrod Taylor did look pretty good in a Rick Dennison offense, which was a surprise.
Yep.
LeSean McCoy put up his 150 total yards. He always looks
good. Their O-line's good.
This is Sean McDermott, the former DC of Carolina, yep, facing his old team. And I'm pretty sure early on I went 7.5 is way too many points for Carolina. But then I thought, I think that Carolina has the perfect front seven to stop Buffalo's offense.
Yeah.
With that D-line and those linebackers, it's all Tyrod and LeSean.
Right.
They're not getting to the edge against this team.
Yeah.
I'm going Carolina here. I believe I bet 10. I took Buffalo. Damn it. I took Buffalo.
$10. Who gives a crap?
$10. It's the points.
Yeah.
I think it's too. I think Carolina wins the game.
Right.
But I don't think they have the offense to make it more than 7.5. So apparently I took Buffalo.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Stupid little Lefko. Man, what the hell did you do this morning?
I went to the gym.
Oh, that will mess your brain up. I'm going the other route there, Slugger. I'm kicking Carolina to win the game 20-17, and I'm going. Cha-ching!
$300 on the Buffalo Bills.
I am, wow. Yes. I think they're the perfect matchup for the Carolina Panthers. I understand your front seven concerns as far as, like, hey, yeah, Carolina's front seven is good, but Buffalo's O-line is good. I'm taking the teacher over the pupil here. I really
the
think
pupil
that,
over the teacher.
No, I'm taking the well, yeah, I guess so. The teacher over the pupil. No, I'm taking McDermott over as far as I'm not counting Rivera over Steve Wilks, who's the defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. I think he'll be able to maybe infuse some things to their offense regardless, and that can work both ways. But I think the other thing I just look at and go, hey, Buffalo's defense is not a bad group itself. And that's where I really look at the advantage. McDermott, I think, is really going to be all over a Cam Newton offense that wasn't really that impressive last week. Let's just be serious about that. 49ers did some self-inflicting wounds with fours and short and all those things. And I still don't think Cam's going to be as hot as he should be because he's only got one game under his belt. And he wasn't perfect last week. I think we all know that. I think at the end of the day, I just can't imagine Carolina winning the game by more than 7.5 points. I think that would really blow me away. And I think with McDermott and... listen, I think he's one of the best things Carolina had going for them down there. Sean McDermott is a really good football coach. He understands the whole game, and he's built a defense that I'm not going to say it's Carolina, but they have some Carolina-esque principles. Mm. Good middle linebacker play. They got some big people up front, and their secondary, even though they're not great man-to-man, he doesn't care about man-to-man. He wants good zone players.
This feels like your Chicago-Atlanta pick.
Right.
There are certain times where you see something, whether it's film or whatever, where you go... The line is just too damn high, and you see the coaching. You're very confident about this one?
I feel pretty good about this, yes, because I just think where Carolina had their biggest advantages, even to like last week's game against San Francisco, their D-line kind of just overpowered San Francisco's O-line, that ain't going to happen. I mean, this Buffalo Bills left side of their offensive line with Cordy Glenn, Richie Incognito, baseball
bat,
crash
Wood.
My Ferrari, and then Eric Wood at center, that's about as good a three as you're going to find in football. I mean, that is legit. So they're not going to be overpowered, and at times I think they'll be able to win enough plays to get some lanes for LeSean McCoy.
What I love about this show is that we can turn people. Alex Daniels, the guy that was shitting on us a lot, said, truthfully, I'm on the same page for most of your picks this week. Guys, we're going to figure it out. We always do.
Yeah.
Super happy to have you here. All right, next one is a game that I think people were super confident in.
Yeah.
I'm kind of avoiding.
Okay.
Patriots at Saints.
Right.
Both teams got a loss that kind of shook them to their core. Clearly, Sean Payton was feeling confident taking those timeouts about his defense. It blew up in his face in a big way.
Yep.
Drew Brees got some bullcrap statistics at the end of the game to make it seem closer than it was.
I hate that crap.
Patriots played a good game.
Yeah.
Could have won that game against the Chiefs, but it was a really good game plan by Andy Reid. Alex Smith played the best game of his life, and Kareem Hunt burst onto the scene in a huge way. The Patriots are favored by 6.5 in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That means they're favored to win by 9.5.
Right.
I am going Patriots here, but I believe I'm – what did I go? Just put it up because I forgot. I went $50. I thought I really avoided it. I'm going Patriots $50 mainly because – I just don't think they're losing back-to-back.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go, man, the Saints are going to put up points on the Patriots.
I would think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But I really think the Patriots are going to put up a lot of points against the Saints.
You know, again, extra time to prepare because they played on Thursday. New Orleans played on Monday night.
Right.
That's not a good link. Zach Strief, their right tackle, hurt. That scares me. I'm picking New England to win the game 35-24, but I'm putting only 100 on it.
So we're both going, you're going 100, I'm going 50.
Yeah, I feel good about it, but Listen, at the same time, do I think that game could be 35-24 and exactly. Drew Brees goes down and scores a late touchdown bullshit. To make it 35-31? Those are the little things I looked at that scare me. So, yeah, I do think New England is the better football team. We know that. I think Brady will be better this week. Yes, the Patriots defense, you know, does it have enough difference makers up front? You know, Trey Flowers, the kid 95, I think I'm right, Dietrich Wise, he's really impressive. But nonetheless, yeah.
How does Sean Payton usually do against Belichick?
Well, the last time they went to New Orleans, he whooped their butt. I know that. And then I think the last time...
Who whooped whose butt?
Sean Payton whooped New England's butt. Okay. Because it was the football life. The first year Belichick did football life, yeah. And he's on the sidelines going, I just can't get this team to play that I want it. And it's in New Orleans because they had their butts whooped. Then the last time they played in Foxborough, New Orleans was winning and dominated most of the game, and Brady drove them down late in the game to score a game-winning touchdown with, like, very little time
left. So you're
not
really giving me a lot of confidence. It sounds like Sean Payton really does a damage.
Well, I mean, I'm always scared of Sean Payton in that.
So why'd you bet 100 on New England?
Well, I don't think 100's. I feel good about New England. I think they're clearly the better football team. And the inexperience of the secondary of New Orleans does scare me. But I'm always going to be a little wary to go too crazy. Like, at first I wrote down, like, $300 for this game. I was like, and then I was
That's
like,
what
wait,
I did.
Pump your freaking brakes, Chris Sims. What the hell are you thinking? It's in New Orleans. It's a little scary.
It's a good coaching
and
matchup.
I went from there.
We got a few more. Your picks are so bad. Nick Earhart, your picks are so bad, I'd rather watch Mark Sanchez try to run the ball. And Alex Raphael, again, killing it. Your picks are so bad, they were traded to the Browns for a second-round pick and then cut. So we are the Brock Osweiler. We are the Brock
Osweiler. That's a really good one.
Guys, keep doing it. Your picks are so bad. You do it. We say your name. It's pretty awesome. All right, next one, Dallas at Denver.
Yeah.
Another one that made me open up my eyes a little bit when I first saw it. Dallas pushed around the G-men, get a very convincing win. Denver really looked good against the L.A. Chargers. I really like the offense. Mike McCoy and what he's doing with Simeon was good. Dallas is favored by 2 in this game.
Yeah.
On the road in Denver at a 4 o'clock game. I am going Denver here.
Yeah.
I think that Denver is going to win this game straight up. This is one where I picked a team to win. I'm going $50, which is sort of like the I'm more confident than $10. I'm afraid that Dallas, if they start pushing the ball, can push Denver around.
Yeah.
I am so excited to see Von Miller against this offensive line.
Right.
Von Miller versus Lyle Collins on that side should be really, really fun to watch.
Yep.
But I think that Denver's offense, I know this is going to sound crazy,
mm-hmm.
is a lot more talented than the Giants' offense without Odell Beckham.
They are.
And I think the – now, Ronald Leary is on the injury.
Yeah, he's got, what, a concussion protocol?
Something like
right.
that. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yep.
But I think that Dallas is about to face a really flying around defense.
Yeah.
And if they get behind it all and then Dak has to kind of start throwing, I like Denver at home getting 2 points.
I get that. And the Ronald Leary thing did scare me. I mean, no doubt about it. I think the one thing that's different about Denver this year, they're good up front and they have a little depth even for a guy like Ronald Leary to get hurt. So I am going Denver Broncos.
Wow.
$200. First of all, I should have included Denver in one of the loudest stadiums in football as well.
Okay.
They're in that top 5 for sure. Going to be a tough environment. Other thing I'll say is this. The Broncos, you talked about it. The offense is going to be different this year. First of all, Trevor Siemian is better than people realize. Mike McCoy as the offensive coordinator is going to be a great improvement. And then there's still Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas on the outside. And this is a Dallas defense. Like, I'm not ready to go, oh, Dallas is a great defense. No. I mean, that Giants offense stinks. I think people are going to start to realize now without Odell Beckham how horrible it is. Okay? The other thing I say, listen, your points are valid. Like, I'm worried about Dallas's O-line. Pushing around.
Yeah.
But I do think they've made the proper adjustments in the offseason. I mean, the Broncos got bigger on the inside.
Who'd they get?
They got Pecco, right? Who's the other name
this
I'm
has
missing?
Been a complaint, if you don't know us, about Denver for the last few years.
Yes.
They have speed and pass rushers, but they lack the dudes
the overall
in the middle
big guys.
Just to control the line of scrimmage on run junk plays.
Right. They got the I'm missing my guy. What is it? Kerr or who?
Yeah, Kerr from Indianapolis.
Yeah, Kerr, another
Zach
big
Kerr.
Guy, a 335-pounder, okay?
He was always good on the Colts.
And this is the final thing where I just looked at. I said, you know what? This Dallas offense, it's based on just physicality for the most part, and then Dak Prescott making some big throws down the field. Well, This is a team in Denver that's got legit corners, and they're not going to be afraid
the
to
most
go.
Legit.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be afraid to go, okay, we can put Aqib Talib on Des Bryant and feel fine all game long. We could put Chris Harris on Cole Beasley and feel fine all game long. And we could put Bradley Roby on Terrence Williams and feel good all game long, which will allow them to crowd the box. And, yeah, I have a hard time thinking Dallas. This is going to be one of the biggest tests of the year for me for Dallas. I mean, this, we haven't seen them really in this type of environment, on the road, on a grass field.
Pittsburgh was the closest.
Pittsburgh was the closest, right.
And
which
it was
I don't think Pittsburgh's defense is nearly as good as Denver.
I have some interesting stats on this one.
Okay.
The Cowboys are 0-5 in their last five games against the Broncos. Mm. They haven't beaten them in two decades.
I was there for one of them.
The Broncos are 11-1 in their last 12 week twos.
Wow, that's funny. I know. I don't know what that means, but...
I don't know what that means either.
But yeah, I picked Denver to win 23-17, just if anybody wants that.
Yeah. I think that's good.
All right, good.
I think you should keep giving the scores because a lot of people ask about over and unders. So you know what? I'm also going to tweet it from the Sims and Lefko podcast account, your score predictions.
Okay.
And he has a picks article on Bleacher Report where it gives the score.
Right.
I'm just going to condense the chart. So go to Sims and Lefko on Twitter, and I'll put his scores. Because I know some of you guys like the over-unders, and I got to check how you did last week, but you're usually pretty spot on.
Oh, yeah, and can I make one more point? I meant to say this on our podcast the other day. This is something that jumped out to me week one for all you bettors. I don't bet on football games, but this is
crazy.
This is the one thing that I took away from my week of film. I thought referees let the D-backs be a little more physical than we've seen in years past. And people want to talk about low-scoring games, maybe not the offensive
Green Bay,
explosion.
Seattle, Denver.
That was the reason.
Denver, L.A.
They weren't going to go, oh, pass interference.
Kansas City, New England.
That's what I mean.
Do you think that's something that'll happen for the rest of the year?
When it happens throughout the NFL in week one, that tells me that the NFL's probably been the referees' ears ago.
I was worried that maybe it gets adjusted back.
It would scare me, too. So we'll be able to see this week. But I'm just saying that was a theme I noticed in a lot of games.
Jacksonville was super physical.
That's what I mean. It was across the board. Almost. I haven't watched every game of the week.
And if that's the case, let me just tell you.
Yeah.
Start investing more in the really good defenses.
Yes. Because
it's going to go back to football from 15 years ago.
Right.
When you could hit some guy.
Yeah, where you didn't, if you touched them with your fingernail.
All right, so that's homework for everybody. Pay attention to the games, and let's see if it continues. Because if that's the case, I'm just going to start picking the team with the better defense. All right, next one up, Washington at the Rams. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay versus his former team. You see Aaron Donald right there in the graphic. I don't know if he's playing or not. If he does... Man, it could be interesting. The Rams are favored by 2.5 after beating the Colts like a rented mule. And Washington, man, boy, do they have a bad game against the Eagles. It was really rough. In this game, I don't like either team.
Yeah.
Frankly, because I kind of don't know how much to believe from the Rams from last week. I am going the Rams here, and I'm going to lay the 2.5 points. I just went with the team that's at home. And... I have nothing else. I would never bet this game.
No.
I would never bet this
game. Scary. You got one team going across the country. That's certainly scary. I picked Washington to win the game 24-23, and I'm taking Washington for $10. Okay? Yeah. I got to see another week of Jared Goff and company before I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. And there's still a lot of weapons on that Washington offense. I think they were close to making a few big plays where they missed out on. My big thing with Washington, too, Lefko, I'll say this. This is probably another thing I should have said on the podcast earlier in the week. Like, I don't like the whole running back committee. They got to stop with the whole, like, Robert Kelly. Christian Thompson's the best running back. Stop just putting him in on passing situations. You can make him your running back every down. He's the only guy I look at and go, ooh, if they open up a hole, he can make a big play. But yeah, there's too many unknowns right here, right now. Wade Phillips is the D coordinator. Yep. They're going to be this is going to be a better defense with the Rams. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, there's too many unknowns. That's why I only went $10.
We have two good ones. Your guys' picks are so bad. Alex Raphael, again, your guys' picks are so bad, they make Chris's $400 haircuts look like a good financial decision. I love it. And then Brett Throckled, your picks are so bad, I'd rather bet on Roberto Aguayo making a field goal.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I want to address something before we continue.
Yeah.
Tommy DeBoe is saying, you two must have colluded with the Russians against Dallas. Andrew Fortworth, okay, you anti-Dallas MFers, keep betting against the boys. A lot of people are saying this is exactly what you guys said. Shane Anderson, this is exactly what you guys said about the Giants last week.
Yeah.
Self-scout.
Right.
Are we being too hard on the Cowboys with our picks?
I'm not being too hard. I mean, listen, it was two defenses. I think this defense is better than the Giants' defense that they're going to go against the Denver Broncos.
Are we anti-Dallas?
I'm not anti-Dallas. I mean, when the Dallas Cowboys played the New York Giants, and let me just think, the New York Giants, that's right, they gave me everything as a little kid, and my dad played for them for 15 years. When the Dallas Cowboys played the Giants, I root for the Dallas Cowboys. I love Jason Garrett. He's a close personal friend.
But why
really
do you
like
think
him.
We're being so hard on them right now?
Well, I think there's still the inexperience in the defense. So that's what scared me a little bit, and that scares me again this week on the road in a Denver. And I just think Denver's got a lot of pieces. I'm not anti-Dallas. I mean, listen, I still think they're going to be a playoff football team here and certainly dangerous. I just think, yeah, there's 2 weeks here where
I'm a little skeptical. Playing the Denver defense in Denver with a lot more pressure on Dak after he didn't look that great in week one. I don't know if he's faced the test.
He didn't look good early.
Right,
that's
what I meant.
He was phenomenal later. I mean, he was phenomenal. And if Dak Prescott plays like that all year, I mean, they're going to be like a legit Super Bowl contender. I'm just saying I needed one more week. It just happened to be two teams that I'm not feeling it. I'm not an anti-Dallas guy. Trust me, I'm really not. I'm very pro-Dallas. I mean, Gabe, shake your little camera for me. Gabe loves the Giants, and he hates that I always root for the Cowboys.
San Francisco at Seattle. Our favorite coach in the NFL, Kyle Shanahan. He's in trouble. He's headed to Seattle and to take on the Seahawks after the Seahawks lost in Lambeau.
Right.
Man,
yeah.
The Seahawks are special.
Yeah.
In the last 12 times that Seattle has faced San Francisco, they're 11-1 against the spread.
Mm.
The average margin of victory is nearly 17 points per game.
Wow.
Seattle at home against San Francisco. I have a visual. Take
right.
my camera. Here's the visual. Brian Hoyer is running. And he's running straight at you. And there's a look on his face. And you don't know why he has so much fear. And then the camera zooms out. And there is the Legion of Doom. Sheldon Richardson is chasing
boom.
Him. It's not. It's the Legion of Doom. Excuse me. Yeah, that's...
It's Legion of Boom, is it?
No, that's their secondary.
Oh, okay.
No, you're right. What is the name of the rappers from California, the California guys?
I don't know. You're an idiot today.
The NWA. What was their name?
NWA.
Damn it. Brian Hoyer's going to die on Sunday. He's going to die. I'm sorry. Get your will and testament. He's going to die. $300, Seattle, minus 13.5. Now tell me how Kyle Shanahan's going to game plan him out of getting his ass kicked.
Listen, there's not much I'm going to be able to tell you. There's only so many things you can do a game plan against Seattle because
rants.
That's what makes them great. I'm picking Seattle 27-13. I'm only putting $10 on
you
it.
You what?
Yes. Seattle scares me. Seattle's one of those teams in general that they can dominate a team for four quarters and you look up and you go, damn, it's 17-13 and somehow this other team's in the football game. Yes, I do, of course, Kyle Shanahan, that offense.
Death row,
good job. I do expect it to be a little bit better this week. Last week there was some self-inflicting wounds. The San Francisco defense, certainly nothing to write home about, but I think it's a little better than people realize, especially up front. I think they can at least stalemate or even better against that Seattle offensive line. Big thing is they have no Reuben Foster, who is already the best player on their defense, and that's not even close. He's better than Navarro Bowman, just trust me. I think that's what just scared me. So I'm only going $10. Man, and now I'm extra rooting for San Francisco because I want you to lose the money.
If this game was in San Francisco,
yeah.
I would completely agree with you. But when I looked back at the last few years, Seattle's like first home game, they just tear people up.
Yeah.
Miami last year was the only time where it was like really close.
Right.
And Miami has Ndamukong Suh. My question for you would be, the guys on this San Francisco front line, are they hold the gap guys or are they bust through the line guys?
Yeah, they're still a little stuck in between.
And that's my thing is like they don't have, in my opinion, the guys to kind of get in there and ruin Russell Wilson.
Very fair.
And if Reuben Foster's not playing,
right.
It's more like I just think the Seattle defense might beat the spread.
That could be very true. I mean, it's hard to put a lot of faith into Brian Hoyer and company.
Bennett versus Zane Beadles.
Yeah, that's a very scary right now. Kyle's usually pretty smart and being able to realize his weaknesses and concoct some game plan to help
that
out.
I just don't think he has the guys to get it done.
He might not.
I think he had more talent with Cleveland.
It's close. You're right. I would probably say you're
right. I think he had a better line in Cleveland.
I don't know if he had the better receivers.
I like Pierre Garçon.
And Goodwin.
And I think Goodwin's got some speed.
Yeah.
But he's relying on Kyle Juszczyk to be like a major, I don't know.
I get it. No, that's scary. Kyle has had some decent success against Seattle. So he does have some ways to beat
him. Talk through that. Do the Sean Payton New England thing for Kyle Shanahan versus Seattle.
Yeah, well, Kyle Shanahan, let's just go back. I understand. Let's go back to the divisional playoff
game. Is he going to have the time to let those routes develop?
Yeah, no, probably not all game long. It's certainly not the same as the Atlanta Falcons team. But the Atlanta Falcons also played good in Seattle last year and could have won that game, maybe should have won that game. And then in the divisional playoff game, they ran them out of the stadium pretty much. I get why you're going there. There's just things that scare me. Seattle's offense scares me. It's a crappy offense, just like the Giants offense in general. They just have Russell Wilson. Thomas Rawls plays and he's looking good. Yeah, then that could be scary and I could be in trouble and then you're going to win a lot of money.
Alex Daniels wants to start a GoFundMe for Brian Hoyer to pay his medical bills afterwards. And he also said $10.
Yeah.
Sims, you carnival working, no child support paying cheapo.
Yeah,
He bet too much of his money on Buffalo.
No.
So that's
child
a big one. I
me.
Need Carolina to win big and you need Seattle. You need San Francisco
just to hang around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, let's get to, I think, this is the best game of the weekend for me because it's got the best quarterback of all time, Aaron Rodgers, taking on Atlanta in the season, the opening of the new stadium up there in Atlanta. Atlanta is favored by 2.5. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was still running for his life with missing some of his offensive linemen that left over the last few years.
Yep.
Matt Ryan was in an absolute dogfight and took Quentin Dempsey's dumbass. So I shouldn't hate on Quentin Dempsey.
It really
much.
Wasn't his fault.
I know.
You know, Patrick Chung, you thought he stunk when he was with the Eagles, too. And then somehow your guys go somewhere
Kirk
else
Cousins.
And they do
I know,
okay.
We already talked about this. But they were in a dogfight. I am going Green Bay getting 2.5 points. How much money? I put $100 on it, I think. $100 on Green Bay. The other thing, the little nugget that I'm going to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
We did this on the podcast, Sims and Lefko podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. They have a slow turf there. I wonder if it's the same turf that was in the Patriots. Remember, Alex Mack had a quote where he goes, it's great, they're going to slow people down, so the defensive linemen. A slow turf benefits Green Bay much more than it benefits Atlanta.
I agree.
Because Atlanta's defensive speed, they would be all over the slow receivers of Green Bay.
Yes.
Jordy Nelson's great. Randall Cobb is really good. Devontae Adams is good. They're not that fast.
No, they're not.
Atlanta's
they're not
defense should be all over Ty Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that Mike Daniels against that defense, that offensive line for Atlanta,
yeah.
I just don't think they're going to get any running lanes open, and I'm betting on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm the same way there. I'm going Green Bay as well. I'm picking Green Bay to win the game 24-20, but I don't feel great about it.
$10.
Yep, $10. So, there's some things that scare me, certainly. First of all, it is a home opener in a new stadium. Those people are going to be going crazy in Atlanta. The Atlanta defense is legit. I mean, it's legit. The linebackers, listen, you know your defense is legit all out there when the NFL sack leader is not starting on your defense, okay? Vic Beasley does not start for the Atlanta Falcons. That's how deep their defensive line is. They start Shelby and Brooks Reed at defense, and with Poe and our man Grady Jarrett in the middle, Duke Riley's a linebacker, Devondre Campbell's a linebacker, and, of course, man, Deion Jones, along with those corners. So I'm scared. I'm scared, again, because of what you talked about with Green Bay's offense against Seattle. There's certainly some concern there. Yeah, it wasn't great protection. It was Aaron Rodgers pulling rabbits out of his ass one after another, as he usually does, which is unbelievable. I am picking Green Bay, but will I be shocked if they lost this game? No, I'm not going to be shocked. Green Bay's defense, though, it did look good. And if they can continue on that and stay healthy, like the guys that made improvements to me, Quentin Rollins, Demaryius Randle, they've looked better in the preseason, and that carries over to the regular season so far to this point. And the D-line, we'll see what they have. One of the under, like Nick Perry with Ahmad Brooks on the edge, and, of course, the middle linebackers in the middle are pretty good, too. Yeah, I think they're going to hang around. I think they're going to win a tough football game.
Let's do a quick little recap of the bets before we get into guaranteed to lose, yep. which you were incredible last week. 1-4 on guaranteed to lose.
Man,
I don't think you've ever been that bad.
I don't think I have either.
We usually flirt more with perfect records than that. If you want to know the Sims and Lefko big bets,
yeah.
Baltimore
right.
with -8 against Cleveland, you bet 300, I bet 200.
Right.
Oakland -14 against the Jets. You bet 400, I bet 300. And the other one that we were both very much in agreement for, Detroit +4 against the Giants on Monday night. We yep. both bet 100 on that. And then for Denver, the other one's New England. You went 100, I went 50, but we're both kind of scared.
Right.
Denver, you bet 200, I bet 50.
Right.
So we're both on Denver.
I bet 300 on
So then the
Buffalo.
If you want to know Sims's big bet that he's on alone on an island,
yeah.
Sims bet 300, Buffalo +7.5 against Carolina. And then my big bet was Seattle -13.5. I bet 300, you only bet 10
right.
For the Seahawks to cover the spread. So we both bet on the same team.
Yeah.
You just went ham on Buffalo, and I got scared.
Right.
I went ham on Seattle, and you got scared.
I got scared, yes. All right.
All right.
Good catch.
Now, it is time for Guaranteed to Lose. Sims, 5 teams that you think are guaranteed to lose, and we're starting off on Thursday night.
Yeehaw! Hello, Texas. Yeah, you're going to lose. Why? Because you got a rookie quarterback and a short weekend. Did you see your game last week? Holy crap, it was a disaster. You couldn't block anybody, and the other team still has weapons, and Andy Dalton, those 3 running backs, and of course, A.J. Green. I got to go with the Bengals at home against a rookie quarterback, and it's how bad the Texans looked in week 1.
Next up, guaranteed to lose, it's Old Faithful. They've been here for a long time,
oh,
Sims.
Oh, hello, Cleveland. I don't believe Lind quite yet. Sorry, I can't do it. Things are looking better, but man, going to Baltimore against that defense? Sorry, Slugger, that ain't going to happen. Chris Sims says you're going to lose. You're going to lose this weekend.
Next up on Guaranteed to Lose, we had our faith in him last week, and we were smacked in the face.
Let's
so who's losing?
J-E-T-S.
Lose.
Yeah, sorry, Jets. You're going to lose. You got to go out to Oakland. Mama says you're going to lose. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. You're going to lose to the Raiders. The Raiders got too much firepower. Derek Carr, that offensive line, the run game, and the defense I do think is better. And what is there to really write home about as far as the Jets offense?
And when it comes to being good friends, the best ones are the ones that you can insult right to their face. So why don't you tell your good friend Kyle Shanahan something that's going to happen this weekend?
Sorry, Kyle. I like you a lot. You're my friend, but you're going to lose. You're going to Seattle. Brian Hoyer is your quarterback. Zane Beatles is your guard. And most people don't know anybody on your defense other than Navarro Bowman. That doesn't bode well to going to play to Seattle. So, caw! Seahawks win, 49ers lose.
Do you normally talk to Kyle in this voice?
Sometimes I do.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Last one up, guaranteed to lose. Where are we going?
Oh, we're going down to New Orleans. New Orleans? Hello, New Orleans. Oh, that's right. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are coming to town. Oh, that's right. They're pissed off. Oh, that's right. They're 0-1. Oh, and you have a lot of young players in your secondary, and Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels are going to have their heads spinning, and the Patriots are going to win. Why? Because I said so.
And that is guaranteed to lose. Take one more look at it. Texans, Browns, Jets, Niners, Saints. If you are doing a survivor pool, take the teams on the right there. Cincinnati, Baltimore, Oakland, Seattle, New England. Which one are you the most confident in?
The one I'm most confident in is the Browns.
And look, and if you're doing a survivor pool, might not be a bad week to take Cincinnati because you're probably not going to trust them the rest of the season. But a rookie quarterback on a short week is a good bet. Those are your guaranteed to lose teams. Do you feel good about your bets overall?
I do. I feel a lot better this week than last week. There's less unknowns.
The my locks, my Lefko locks that I'm putting out on Sunday are that you'll see on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. I am going with Kansas City, Oakland, Seattle, and Green Bay. I'm making Green Bay one of my locks. I like to get a little risky.
Okay, that's good.
After an 0-3 week and everyone on national social media tell me I'm an idiot, I still got to do a little bit.
You were an idiot today.
Why?
You couldn't talk. I don't know. You couldn't pick a name.
Baby.
Oh, NWA.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate you very much. Hope you guys do really well. Thanks so much. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes. 3 podcasts a week coming out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'll see how our picks do. Guaranteed to lose. We love you guys very much. For Sims.
Peace out, homies.
For Fendrick, he would say have a good night. I'm Adam Lefko. Be well. See you soon.